You're listening to the Sportsman's Nation Podcast Network, brought to you by Go Wild. Now, the Go Wild app has added some really cool and exciting functionality to their app. And the first one I want to talk about is the Near Me function. And basically what this does, it allows you to engage and connect with people in your area. You guys can talk about gear. You guys can talk about hunting areas. You guys can talk about what's going on in the woods. And it just allows the users to be more of a community and connect easier. The second part is the Gearbox. And what the Gearbox is, it is an opportunity for the users to not only see reviews on products and see what the Go Wild community is using in the field, what products they're using, but it also allows you guys to purchase up to 150,000 products. There's a shopping function on it. So check out the Go Wild app. If you haven't downloaded it to your phone yet, you need to, and you can do that at any app store that is currently available. Go Wild. It's an awesome app. Check them out.
Welcome to the Missouri Woods and Water Podcast. I'm your host, Nate Thomas. In today's episode, we go into bow setups with our guest, Frank Iupa. Frank is a friend of ours, used to run an archery shop that all three of us used to go to, so we got to know Frank over the years. So Frank comes on and we talk about different bow setups for whitetail compared to elk. Just kind of talk about each one of our setups and how we do things and help you kind of compare what you do to what we do. So hopefully you get some good information. We go down quite a few rabbit holes and kind of talk about all kinds of stuff. So hope you enjoy the show. This is the Missouri Woods and Water Podcast. All right, welcome to the show. We've got a good one today. I've got a full house. We've got both Andy and Micah with us today. And our guest today is Frank Iupa. Frank is a really smart archery type of guy. We all knew Frank from his days back at Evolved Archery when he ran that shop. So, Frank, what's going on, man?
Not much. How you guys been?
Pretty good.
Buddy. Good. Doing good.
Thanks for coming on today, dude.
Oh, yeah, no problem.
So people can kind of get to know you a little bit, why don't you introduce yourself, let us know what you do for a living if you want, and then, what should I ask him? What's your favorite thing about the Missouri outdoors? We'll just go with that.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, my name's Frank, obviously, and I'm a territory sales manager for McCormick Tractors, so if anybody needs a food plot tractor, let me know.
Boom.
You're the guy to go to.
We know a guy.
Yeah. But prior to that, you know, I spent, 5 years managing a Evolved Archery, the pro shop there. I shoot a lot of archery competitively, and, well, I grew up hunting, so with a bow, but that's how it kind of led me into the competitive side. I wanted to shoot my bow a little more than just at deer and turkeys and things like that, so ended up in 3D, but a little bit of indoor stuff like that, but that's not my favorite. I like to shoot foam animals. But
they don't move.
Yeah.
Pretty nice.
Nice. They don't jump anything.
Perfect. Yeah, for the my favorite part of the Missouri outdoors, it's tough because I like to do just about all of it. Mm-hmm. I hike the trails in the state parks, but that's mostly to get ready for elk season, I put my pack on and go. No, I'd say archery hunting whitetails. It's my favorite for Missouri. If I can bow hunt anything, it doesn't matter what it is, I want to do it. So.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I mean, that's kind of how we all are. And we'll get into, I think, hopefully if we have time, we'll get into some of the 3D stuff because Missouri has a lot of options.
Oh, man, you can shoot every weekend.
Yeah, you really can. And that's,
Well, it's been a little different this year with COVID and stuff like that. But you still, I mean, if you look hard enough, you can definitely find a sheep.
There's stuff.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. And right now, there's a lot more getting ready to start. I was just looking at it this morning, actually. And I think July really starts kicking off almost every weekend from July through August. It seemed like there's something.
Well, and everybody's cramming their schedule into a shorter period now because they still want to get their shoots in.
You got a lot of options.
That's revenue. I mean, if the club's not making money, it's not a club anymore.
Right.
Yep. So,
Yeah, so we'll get into that, I think, hopefully, too. But a lot of people were asking us about bow setups.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And so we thought this would be a perfect episode. First person I thought of was you this. And, you know, I think one good thing is, you know, each of us can kind of talk about what we do. And the thing everybody should know is not any two people are going to do stuff the same way.
Oh, no.
Each one of us is probably going to say something different about what we do for whitetail, what we do for elk, because all four of us elk hunt as well. But I think this can give the listener an idea of, you know, if they're looking to have a setup for both, you know, maybe they don't have the time or money to have a different setup for both animals, or they don't really want to mess with it, you know, which is kind of like a guy like me. I don't really want to mess with the two because I don't necessarily have all the time in the world to get both set up the way I want.
Part of it.
Yeah, you know, I would love to have that stuff, time, right?
That being said, I still kind of stick with it real close together. Right. But
so we'll talk about that, and I think that'll give a lot of people, you know, we can talk about what bows we shoot, our arrows, our broadheads, just kind of a little bit of everything, and I think that'll give people a good idea of what you know, what it is that we at least do, and by no means are we, you know, the Bible.
Yep.
But hey, it's what we do.
Far from it,
And if you're listening to this show, it's what we do. So I mean, like, it is what it is.
There is a thousand ways to skin a cat.
Right. And literally, being in a pro shop, I've got to handle just about everybody's bow, everybody's arrow, all the broadheads. They're all making good stuff.
Sure.
Like, you just got to put it together the correct way.
Yeah.
You know, not every combination works, but that doesn't mean it wasn't quality to begin with. So.
And, bro, you can get on. You can go on these Facebook groups and people getting knocked down, drag out fights about their broadheads. I mean, FOC is a totally crazy subject right now, which, you know, is, I agree
with
a lot of it. Sure,
so,
and it makes sense. I mean, people getting big old fights, and, you know, a lot of the stuff, it all works. It's what works for you, right?
Yep.
So let's just start with you since you're our guest.
Okay.
I am, what is that movie? I am your host, and you are my guest. What are your pleasures?
I have no idea.
It's funny.
You don't want to know some of it because it's kind of dirty.
What do you like to do?
Yeah.
Anybody that knows what that means, we'll stop right there. Let's play chess.
Yeah.
So what bow are you shooting right now?
So I shot Matthews for 5 years, and this year Elite came out with that Cure, and that bow is the most tunable thing that I've ever had my hands on. It's incredible. You can make that bow shoot wrong arrows, right arrows. It doesn't matter. It has all the adjustability. You can have limb stops, cable stops. You know, it has the set technology in the limb pick pockets.
Mm-hmm.
So that's actually, so instead of having a yoke that you tune your left and right, you know, things out of with, it has the limb pocket actually shifts. And it puts it in, like tilts it. It doesn't actually shift it side to side. It tilts it at an angle. It's amazing.
Nice.
The easiest tuning bow I've ever had my hands on. It's pretty fast. It's really quiet.
Does it come in different axle links?
Not this year. So no, they have the Result, which is a 38-inch bow, but that's their target bow.
Uh-huh.
This bow is 32 inches. It's crazy tunable. I can't say that enough. It really is.
Does it shoot left-handed arrows?
Maybe.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, maybe.
Might have to try it.
Left helical for sure. so I picked that bow up. As soon as I saw what it was, I was like, okay, I've been waiting for something like this for a really long time. You can adjust the holding weight on it. You know, Colorado, which is where I spent a lot of time in the fall, 80% let off rule. So you can have 90% let off for Missouri or put it at 85. Heck, I think it's 65% is the low end.
Okay.
I mean, so it's got a huge variety there.
What was the name of it again?
It's the Elite Cure.
Elite Cure.
Yep. Huh. Yep. And so I'm shooting that bow this year. My setup with that is that, you know, I shoot a Victory Arrow, the Rip TKOs, and the Ethics Archery inserts on the front of those.
Mm-hmm.
I have a lot of front of center on that arrow. Just the inserts alone weigh 120 grains. But I'm shooting a stiff arrow, so it breaks it down some.
What is your spine on your arrows?
300 spines.
Okay.
And then
so what is your draw length then?
Like, so technical, it's not just, you know, one easy number, but yeah, it's 29 and like 9/16.
Okay. So decently long draw. Uh-huh. I mean, yeah, you know, pretty, yep, pretty long, at least for a guy like me.
Yeah.
27 inches.
A little shorter than me. So yeah, I got some advantage on you.
So what is your arrow? What are you weighing?
The arrow weighs 505 grains.
Okay.
And it does like 273. So it's not smoking fast, but it's not slow.
It's still moving.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, yeah.
It's not
for
slow.
For a 500-plus grain arrow, yeah, it's still, yeah, going that, yep, fast.
And last year I shot, you know, a 546-grain arrow or something like that. And it was just a shade slower than I want to be. It was in the 260s. Yeah. I don't know. I just wanted to be a little faster, just a little. Even though that's not much, it's still
– that's, and
it's something.
You can probably give me some good information on – that's what I've always struggled with, because I do – I'm a 27-inch draw. Actually, mm-hmm, it's not even quite 27. It's like 26 and 7/8.
Some change.
I'm a short dude and with short arms. And so I've always struggled with my arrow weight. And, mm-hmm, I've gotten to the point now where at least I'm at 450 or so grains.
That's enough.
I think I'm a little shy of that.
Yeah.
But at only 450 grains, I'm only shooting 273, which is plenty fast,
oh, yeah,
right?
That's okay.
But if I go up to, like, let's say, you know, 510 grain arrow, what am I dropping down to speed-wise? That's what scares me,
yeah,
with much heavier.
It's a bunch. I mean, I probably, honest to goodness, I think it's enough, because my arrows weighed like 473 grains 2 years ago, and I passed through that elk twice that I,
right,
shot. So full pass-throughs, both shots.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's. I can't imagine that you would need more.
So are you shooting the same, this Elite Cure?
Mm-hmm.
Are you shooting the same bow for whitetail and the same setup as you,
yep,
for elk?
I'm just going to change broadheads.
Mm-hmm.
I'm probably going to run a mechanical for whitetails. I'm kind of on the fence still on that, but I have an antelope hunt here in August. Shooting mechanicals for sure for that. That's going to be a,
What's your reasoning for that?
Yeah. They're real soft animals. It doesn't take much to kill them, and longer distance shots. You know, we're going to be shooting.
So to fly more.
Yeah, yeah.
True.
So you're
in the wind. It's not even like. Okay. I have no problems tuning my fixed blade broadheads. They fly great. All,
sure.
I mean, out to 100, 110 yards. That being said, crosswind really screws with them. That's where I really see the big advantage to a mechanical is crosswind. So, I think that I'm going to shoot. I'm on the fence still. I think I'm going to shoot either the G5 Dead Meats or the Levi Morgan, that Schwacker, the blue one, the new one,
yeah,
that just came out. I shot a couple deer with those last year, and they were awesome. They did a really good job, so they ought to do good on antelope.
I've always been scared to switch to the mechanicals just because I've always heard so many horror stories about they never opened up or whatever, and so they've just scared me. Yeah.
I've shot a whole lot of deer, and majority of them with mechanical. I mean, the first probably 20 or so deer I shot were fixed blades, but I mean, since then, I mean, I've shot them all with mechanical. I've never even had one fail. I've had them fail because of me, but that's not because it was not mechanical.
It wasn't the broadhead's fault.
It wasn't the broadhead's fault.
Yeah.
Not at all. Yeah.
Yeah.
It was the guy.
Yeah.
Which that'll happen.
Yeah.
Yep.
So you're going to switch to fixed when you go out to elk hunt,
yeah,
most likely.
Yeah, for sure. I'll hunt with a fixed blade.
What do you usually shoot on those?
So last year I shot the Valkyries, but prior, and again, I'll probably shoot the Slick Trick Viper Tricks. That's just kind of my go-to. That broadhead rocks.
Yeah.
Penetration. It's got a really good blade angle. They're sharp. They fly, mm-hmm, good. There's really not a bad thing to them. They work. They just work.
A lot of us, I shoot Slick Tricks as well,
mm-hmm,
and stuff. I moved from those. I was shooting those Montecs.
Mm-hmm.
G5.
Yeah, the Montec G5.
That's a good head. You just got to really work it to get it sharp.
Well, see, yeah. Well, it comes out of the box. You would assume coming out of the box that things should be sharp as heck, and it's really not. You need to take it out of the box. You got to sharpen it. And I was getting super big groups with it. And
yeah.
I mean, that could have been me personally just doing the tune-up myself.
It's a longer head, so the aerodynamics of it are a little different than, like, that Slick Trick's a little shorter.
Right.
So it doesn't have as much surface area, you know.
Pick up as much.
Yeah.
I mean.
Yep.
Yeah, and you know, I'm currently shooting a Slick Trick too,
mm-hmm,
but I'm shooting the standard.
Oh, yeah.
I'd like
to
check out that Viper, but...
So, the standard's a great head.
Sure.
I mean, the only thing that I like better about the Viper Trick is the big cut on contact point.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. It's just they're both fine. They really are.
We're getting off a little big topic right here, but this is I think it's nice.
Yeah.
You know, because a lot of us, I probably am the one out of all three of us that have probably shot the least, the smallest amount of broadheads before. Because when I find something I like.
I'm a connoisseur.
Right? I stick with it. So once I found this Slick Trick, I was like, I'm good. I'm done.
Yep.
But the reason we originally switched to that was I wanted to add another cutting surface, that fourth. Mm-hmm. You know, yep. I was shooting some sort of, it might have been the Montech, I can't remember. It was a three blade fixed.
Yeah.
And I switched to that Slick Trick for that fourth cut. And, you know, the idea being you're kind of, you're putting an X through that animal and it makes it harder to close.
For sure.
You know, even if it's just one hole.
You go back to a mechanical, a lot of the big name mechanicals these days are two blade. That's why I kind of want to shoot that dead meat. It's a three blade. It has an extra blade, you know. I don't know. It's small, you know, but things happen, man.
Yeah.
Deer, elk, they're all tough. They really got a strong will to live. Antelope, not so much, but the rest of them, you know. But
what are your thoughts on like two blade, like single beveled and stuff like that?
Yeah, so the mechanical advantages there on it, I like it. But if I'm going to shoot a two blade, it's definitely not going to be a fixed blade head. It's going to be mechanical, I think. I don't suffer for penetration problems, so.
That's what she said.
And unsubscribe.
I just want the extra blade. I think that the bleeder blade at least.
Yeah.
You know, if you're going to shoot one of those single bevel blades, get one with the bleeder. Okay. You know,
then yeah. I mean, that makes a lot of sense.
Yeah.
Yeah. And aren't little. You shooting basically?
So mine is close to a two blade, but it has a pretty good bleeder on it. I'm shooting the Dirt Nap Alphas.
Oh, yeah. Those are awesome.
I'll be honest. I have the Local Slick company. Tricks.
Yeah. Yep. Missouri-based.
Yeah. Yep. Harrisonville, I believe.
Yep.
Yep. I have the Slick Tricks, and I ran those for a little bit, and I decided to try out the Dirt Naps, and I'm really happy. They group almost identical, so I have both of them in my quiver, and they don't tune any differently. I put them either one in there, and
yeah.
But
that's always good.
I mean, that's something I wish I was more open to different things.
Mm-hmm.
I find something that works for me,
yeah,
and I don't really deviate from it.
There's nothing wrong with that. I mean,
but then I'm like, oh, I'd like to try that out, but I'm not going to. Oh, I'd like to try that out, but I'm not going to. You know, or what else? So,
I really like the Rages. If I only hunted whitetail, I think I would stick with the Rage.
They've killed a lot of deer.
Oh, the blood trails that come from those, you can't, second to none.
It's like a small bomb that goes off inside the animal.
But then, because I do go, you know, we go elk hunting, and I'm always worried about that penetration, which my draw length's 31.5 inches. So I really probably don't, I think I'm shooting 540 grain arrow. I'm sure I don't have that penetration issue that I think I do in my mind.
I don't know. So my hunting partner, Kevin, I'm going to throw him under the bus here.
Uh-oh. Sorry, Kevin.
Yeah, sorry, Kev. we'd called in this bull, and before we went out there, I was like, what broadhead are you going to use? And he's like, I'm going to use these Rage. I'm like, I probably wouldn't do that. But he's like, that's what I'm using. I'm like, okay, good enough. So I call in this bull. He comes across. Kevin shoots him and hit him a little forward. And that literally it was low light. That's
my biggest fear.
It was right at the end of the, you know, shooting hours.
Mm-hmm.
And I could see sparks come off the thing. And I was like, that's not what you want.
This elk is made of metal.
No, it's not. He hit him in the shoulder. And it basically just sparks flew, probably broke the blades off. You know?
Yeah.
It was a bad deal. Not even a drop of blood. Yeah. Not even a little bit.
Yeah,
so.
But I mean, taking it back, deer and elk, they're totally different.
For sure.
Yeah. I mean, I would assume most, even like the Iron Wills or the Valkyries, you get into that shoulder on an elk or
honestly,
something like that.
Honestly, so like that's
tough.
It is still tough. But the Valkyrie and that Iron Will, both those two heads specifically, they're designed to go through. Like I see guys shooting like legs off of elk with them.
That Iron Will is single beveled, so it's kind of meant to split.
It's two
is it double?
Yeah, mm-hmm, okay. Double bevel. But they're both made out of really good materials, you know.
Yeah.
They're tool steel, you know.
They're not cheap either.
Oh, no, they're not. You know, it makes you think twice about just sending one.
Right.
You know.
Well, that's those alphas I'm shooting. I've shot 2 coyotes and 3 deer with the same broadhead. I haven't sharpened it.
Yeah.
It stayed. Yeah.
But, I mean, you go back to that story and like you're talking about deer and elk being different. The idea is not to shoot through a shoulder.
Right. I mean, even if it's worst case scenario.
You know, some of these guys with their FOC is shooting a 620 grain arrow and whatever else, but cool, but it's still not the idea. I get the your level of error might be more potentially, but
I mean, on a whitetail though, if you shoot one in the shoulder, you can still kill that deer.
Right.
You shoot an elk in the shoulder, it's done. No, you're not going to kill it. It just you're just not. You would, I mean, this isn't you know what you want to do, but you'd be better off gut shooting an elk because it's going to die.
Right.
They put one in their shoulder.
They put one in the shoulder. It's just not going to happen, you know.
Yeah, you don't really want to do either.
No.
You know, you see what you mean.
Farther back.
Yeah, they're both worst case scenario.
Right.
But, yeah.
Yeah,
shot placement's always key.
Yep, for sure.
So what sight are you
using? Yeah, I finished my setup here. So I'm running the CB Engage Hybrid. So it's a hybrid type sight. It's a 3-pin, and it slides. So okay.
My guy.
Yep. So I run that thing 25-35-45. In my bottom pin's my adjuster. I always think, you know, it's the one that I'm going to need for the furthest distance. Works good for me. It really does. Works good for whitetail and elk. I don't change sights. That CB has a side plate. The sight tapes are screwed on, so it's not sticky tape.
Oh, nice.
So that's nice.
That's kind of nice.
Oh, man, it is. They kind of changed the game there.
Yeah.
Yep. Excel makes a site that does the same thing, but nobody else that I know of is putting metal sight tapes on their bows.
We'll get to mine, I guess, but mine's pretty high dollar, and I would like that. That's pretty sweet.
Does that come standard?
Yeah.
Nope,
it comes with it.
Yeah. So it's got however many different...
It comes with 15 or 16 plates.
Okay.
So
yeah, because usually like when you buy like an HHA...
Yeah, handful
of... Honestly, you know, I kill a lot of deer with an HHA. There's nothing wrong with that sight. That being said... It wouldn't be my first choice for elk where you just never know, you know.
Right.
It could be at 20 yards right now, and right now it's at 50, you know, like that fast.
Boom, boom.
Because they move.
And that quickly.
Crazy amount, yeah.
I mean, yeah, kind of speeding up, but to go into my setup, I shoot a single pin, and I've been wanting to get to that 3-pin with
the
slider.
It's a nice medium.
Yeah, exactly, because I don't, I mean, I shot a 5-pin for, I don't know, 7-8 years and stuff. But once I switched to that single, I really like the fact that my sight housing is not cluttered up with all those pins.
Yeah. So I don't like looking through the rake either.
Yeah.
You know, that's the reason I went to a single pin 15 or so years ago. And then when I started elk hunting, that's when I was like, okay, I'm going to need some more pins.
It's options here.
Right? Yeah, I mean, and eventually I will. I mean, it's just it's not in the cards this year just for fact. Heck, we're leaving in, what, a month, 2 months? Almost
a little over 2 months. Yeah,
yeah, a little over 2 months. So I mean, I just don't think I'm gonna have the time to get it all set up and ready to go with a 3-pin slider. So I'm just gonna make do. But yeah, I mean, eventually that's what I want to go with.
Yep.
Yeah.
It's good medium.
Yep. So let's think. I mean, we got your pretty much your setup there.
You
got your sight.
I run a tight spot quiver.
Quiver. Yep.
It's just a nice quiver. I mean, a lot of people make good quivers.
Like
though,
a so. 5-arrow.
It is a 5-arrow. Yeah. And it just fits right up snug against my bow.
Mm-hmm.
I am running a QAD. This will be the first time I've ran a QAD rest.
Really?
Uh-huh. Yeah, I normally do run a limb-driven rest, like a Hamsky, or an AAE, like one of those. But this year I'm going to run a QAD. I ordered it with my bow, so it's the Elite QAD anyways. I have the Elite, or the not the Elite, sorry, the CB Torx stabilizers on it. I think that's everything.
How about your release?
Oh, yeah. True ball blade. I'm shooting a thumb button.
Okay.
I've been shooting a hinge for, I don't know, I've deer hunted with a hinge, elk hunted with a hinge for like 5 years now. And I like it. I started, so this is, we're going to go off on a little tangent here.
That's okay. This show is about tangents.
I don't hunt out of a tree stand anymore when I'm whitetail hunting. I started hunting out of a saddle.
I saw that.
I love it. I want to try it.
You have no idea how bad I want to try it.
It is game changing.
Don't do this, Frank.
Crazy.
You know how much money I have sitting out there right now?
I had like three Millenniums, two Lone Wolves, and like four XOPs that I'm like, okay, they got to go.
I'll take those XOPs.
Yeah, they're gone. So I started hunting with this saddle, and my downside was, is that I shoot a hinge, and being so close to the tree, because it keeps you facing the tree and the tree between you and the deer all the way up until you shoot the deer. That's what's awesome. Like, you can keep the tree. They literally walk right past you, and as long as you walk your way around the tree, They don't pick you up really. Right. It's not nearly like when you're sitting on a whitetail.
Well, and it's a natural tree stand. You almost look like a branch.
Yeah, yeah. It doesn't look nearly. I mean, I haven't been picked out hardly at all in a saddle. That being said, being so close to the tree, I noticed that I had a little harder time hooking my release up with a hinge because it's not, you know, it's just a hook.
Right.
And so it would take nothing for me to like try to situate, and then my release would come off my D-loop. The whole time I was thinking, man, I sure wish I had a thumb button hanging on my D-loop. I didn't have to, you know, then you ain't got to mess with it at all until you get ready to draw. You just grab your release and draw.
Yeah.
And I'm not a index finger kind of guy at all, so.
Yeah. I've been wanting to try a thumb.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, and actually, our buddy Pat, Micah, myself, and Pat went on a 3D shoot in, where'd we go? Sedalia? Yeah.
It was past Sedalia, but I think it might have been a Sedalia.
State Fair Archery.
Yeah, that's over there by Smithon. Yeah.
Yeah. Yep. And we got done for the day, and Pat shoots a thumb release, and he let us try his out on, just on that little, you know, range.
Yeah, practice range.
And I liked it.
I did, too.
I'm sitting here like, I don't want to change something right now, right before.
Yeah.
You know how I just told you guys how I am. So
the reason I don't shoot an index finger, and I don't own one, and I won't own one, I mean, is there was a day where I had target panic beyond belief, you know, and I just couldn't get on target. I'd freeze up below it, you know, and I'd go to a 3D shoot and I'd lose all my arrows. I mean, that's not even a joke.
Crazy. Wow.
Like,
that's a real deal. I mean,
I was
a lot of people.
Really bad. And this was before I even started shooting competition at all, but I'd go to a 3D shoot or two a year. And that wasn't even enough. You know, buying a half dozen arrows a week wasn't even enough to
make you change.
To make me change.
$120 I dropped a week on arrows.
I had a deer come through and he was like at 7 yards and I couldn't get the pin on him.
Oh, wow.
And so I'm like, 19 or 20 at this point in time in my life. And I just yanked it and fired it. Just like, oh. And it goes off and I hit him like right in the hips.
Mm.
And I was like, this is. So I hung my bow up and he run off and I was sick. I was like, I'm never doing this again if I can't shoot an animal clean. Right. I just won't. I'm not going to do it. So I get down and I hit the formal artery. I was dumb luck. He piled up like 50 yards away.
Sometimes it's better to be lucky than good.
Yeah, and that was the case. But so I got home. I stripped my bow down. I bought a hinge off of Archery Talk. And Archery Talk was just getting going back then, you know. And I bought this hinge and I started shooting it blank bail because that's what people told you to do. And it was the right thing to do. I came back and I started shooting only a hinge for like 10 years. And I'm telling you that I went from being a really bad shot. Even whenever I didn't have target panic with my index finger, I wasn't a good shot. I was not. I mean, I could keep it in a like 6-inch group or something. It changed. I mean, changed my life as far as archery goes. You know, it turned me into somebody that could shoot a bow a little bit. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. That's crazy. I mean, I learned a lot about my shot this year from, I got my bow restrung this year. Doug Hutchison.
Oh yeah. Doug's a great guy.
Yeah. He's awesome.
Since Frank quit us.
Yeah.
And, Doug taught me, he had me shoot in front of him, and he taught me a few things that I didn't even realize I was doing wrong.
Yeah.
And one thing was, and I knew I punched a little bit, but I've never had what you would call, quote unquote, target panic.
Yeah.
So he taught me.
Yeah, if you can control it, that's one thing, but I couldn't control it.
I still shoot an index finger, but he taught me you can use that index finger as a hinge.
Absolutely.
And you just keep creeping back, and the pressure that you're putting on the strings is what's going to release that arrow, not your finger.
Yep.
And that's changed a lot, and I changed my release also, but
I've tried that whenever I first, like back then I tried that. I was like, oh, I'm just going to put a lot of pressure on this and I'm going to pull till it fires.
Mm-hmm.
I could do it until there was something in front of me.
And then it just all,
and then
all
I was back to slapping it, you know? So
that makes sense. I mean,
yeah,
I hope I don't,
it's totally mental, man.
That.
It really is. Hey, you don't want it.
I don't want it. No,
you don't want it.
Yeah. So. I've heard.
Yeah. I mean, I've struggled with it before, but it's, I've never shot bad enough where it's made me switch. I want to switch on my own accord just because I think it will make me, I'm a decent shot. I'm not, you know, terrible by any means, but I think I could get better.
Yeah.
I mean, so I think that's one of the things I'm going to try is a thumb. I plan on going with the thumb.
Well, since you're talking right now, let's talk about your setup.
Okay.
We got everything for you, right? I mean,
I think so.
We think anything else? So that's a sweet setup. I mean, I need to look into that Elite because some point, I'm going to have to switch bows.
Yep.
But so, Micah, what are you shooting?
Talking about it, I mean, whenever I went out and shot bows, whenever I shot, my first bow was an old ass PSE. I think it was like a Fireflight or something like that, like with like 3 inches too long on the draw. But anyways, I was able to, before we went on our first elk hunt, I told my wife, I was like, I need to get a new bow. You know, I mean,
she wasn't happy about that.
No, she was not.
She thought it was just going to be the price she paid for the tag. And then all of a sudden, there was another $1,000.
Yeah.
She's like, who the hell is this Frank Iupa guy?
I know, yeah. Spending all my money. Yeah.
But yeah, well, anyway, so I went around.
The gear list is long.
Yeah. Yep. I shot a few bows. I shot a few elites. And elite was going to be my backup. Mm-hmm. But I shot the Tri-Ax.
Oh, yeah.
The Matthews Tri-Ax. And I mean, I like it. I like the bow. I shoot good with it. And
there's nothing wrong with that bow.
No, it's a good one. And the only thing that I'm disappointed is the camo pattern. I wish I would have waited for the charcoal. Yeah. But that was like when it first came out. And I messaged you or something. I was like, which one do you have? Because nobody had them in stock. And he's like, you told me and whatever. I'm like, okay, I'll just take it. I'm like, I don't care. I'm not waiting any longer. Yeah. You know, season's coming. So I got the Tri-Ax. I'm shooting it. I'm a 28 and a half inch draw.
It's fast bow too.
It is. I was when I came and what did we do? But it was shooting 291, I believe.
With your hunting arrow?
Yeah, that's with good. My hunting arrow.
Yep.
And I shoot a Trophy Ridge single pin. I think it's the Pro.
Yeah, it'd be a Trio or not a. It's a React Pro.
Yeah,
not
React a Trio. Pro. Yep. React Pro single pin, and. Shoot, I can't even remember what drop away rest I have right now.
Yeah, I'm not going to remember mine either. I know what it looks like.
Oh, no, you put it on, Frank. You remember that? But no.
So we should probably just have Frank explain our bow setup. No,
but no, I mean, it's similar to the QAD. I don't think it's a QAD. It was another style. Yeah. For some reason, that's leaving me. But as far as arrow setups, Black Eagle, Rampages. Mm-hmm.
Times three, by the way, when we get to all of ours.
Yeah, times three. We all shoot the Black Eagles.
Yeah, they make good stuff.
Yeah, and Slick Trick broadheads. Yeah.
Standard,
so,
yep.
I mean, I'm doing, you know, I shoot pretty good.
What is your arrow weight? What are you thinking you're at?
I'm around the 450 range. I'm not too much off of you or Russell. I mean, we all kind of got pretty close to the same arrows.
Yeah.
So, which, I mean, I thought about a switch and maybe going with a heavier broadhead or something, maybe going with a 125, but
yeah,
you know, I mean, I don't know. Haven't messed with it. Haven't had the time to mess with it as much as I usually do this year.
I mean, it sounds like your arrow weight's plenty good. I don't, you know.
Yeah. And I mean, I've taken it out to Colorado. I've drew back on elk. I haven't shot at an elk yet, but I mean, as far as elk or whitetail goes, I've never had any problems at all.
Yeah.
You know, so
that's, I went hog hunting this year. Like in April, maybe. And my arrows were blowing through them, like skipping off the rocks and behind them, like
really?
20 yards. Oh, man, they were gone.
And I would think.
A little too much kinetic energy.
And I would think, I mean, because pigs, also, they got that huge bone or whatever.
They say that, but I shot them right in it.
Really? Like, and you still didn't right have through. Any problems?
Oh, yeah. Not even a little bit.
Really? Yep. Okay, that's awesome.
Well, and I mean, this FOC thing has got me really intrigued big time. But I think it's one of them deals where you almost have to – I wouldn't be against making changes, but it's – if something's working for you,
why
change?
Mess with it?
Well, you know –
Now, being said, I haven't killed an elk either. So, you know,
so,
I have that – I've taken other people's trials and tribulations and then kind of – made changes, right? Like I went to the four blade slick trick based on some stuff that happened with elk, and switched it on my whitetail setup too. So it's, I don't know, it's one of them deals where I want to give it a shot, but you go spend how much money on new arrows and new inserts?
It can be ridiculous.
And then you go, oh, I don't like this.
You know, and that's whenever I built these arrows. Luckily, I got the sweet hookup on the Victory stuff. That being said, I still had to buy the broadheads and full price and the Ethics archery inserts at full price. So whenever I built these arrows, I was like, I'm going to see how bad to the bone these things really are.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because I built them for worst case. You know, if you hit an elk in the shoulder, that's what I built them for.
Yeah.
And so I went out and I shot a 2x4 on purpose at 20 yards and it blew through it. And I was
you got more balls than me or a bigger checkbook than me. One of those, I don't know.
It blew through it and I was like, that's impressive.
Yeah.
And that took it over and put it on the spinner, and the thing spun perfect still. It's like,
that's the one. All right. Yeah. I mean, there's a reason why they're that expensive. I mean, I think, so what are those? What do you get? Three? Is it
three? For 100?
Yeah, for 100. I think that's similar to the iron wheels and stuff
like that. Yeah, they're the same price.
I mean, super expensive, but in a lot of things, you get what you pay for
in
those things.
Yeah. And they flew good.
All right, so back to you, though.
Yep, sorry.
No, that's all right. Quiver?
I don't even know what quiver
release.
I have,
what's your release? What are you shooting?
Scott release. Oh, it's just a simple. I actually got it. I bought Amy a youth bow a while back. It was off like a Facebook market page or something like that, and it came with a release. And I was shooting a Walmart trigger release. I mean, but I went to that and I took the Scott and I got her own release. And I mean, it does fine. Like I said, I can't complain because I mean, I'm accurate out to 60 yards. You know, I mean, I'm not shooting a, you know, Copenhagen can every time, but I mean, I'm pretty accurate. So it's kind of hard to switch that setup. But that being said, I do every once in a while have a flyer here or there.
Yeah.
So, I mean, that's why I want to kind of switch it up.
I mean, at that kind of distance, it could just be anything. It really, you know.
Right.
Oh, I mean, we've learned so much about, you know, your spine,
yeah.
you know, finding your spine on arrows. I mean, you could have that just that one that is
a little off.
Weird.
I mean, you talk about just flyers and stuff like that. I mean, there's a huge rabbit hole to this stuff. Like your anchor changing just ever so slightly, you know, your nose being on one side of the string or just in the middle of the string, you know, all that stuff matters. And you know, your bubble on your level, you know, it doesn't matter at 20 yards really, but it matters a heck of a lot at 60.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you got a little side hill. You know, this is all stuff that, you know, if your bubble's in the middle, even on that side hill, if it's a real steep side hill, you're still going to get some drop out the one side. You need to bubble into the hill. That's all stuff that, you know, people don't just know, you know.
And to be honest, I've never thought about it until you just said it. Actually, that makes a lot of sense.
Yeah.
It's shit you don't even think about when you're shooting sometimes
for
either.
For sure.
I remember when I got my bow first tuned by Doug.
Yeah.
I was shooting. I'm like, why the hell am I having to put my sight so far left? I kept missing left, you know, just kind of getting stuff back set up. I didn't even realize I was digging.
Your nose in?
In, yeah. And I didn't even realize it until I'm like,
nose
wait button a minute.
Bomar has nowadays.
Yeah.
A little prickly thing. It won't let you mess up.
Yeah. So,
yeah.
So I mean, that's a good setup, though. So.
Yeah, I mean, it's nothing outrageous. You know, I'm like I said, I'm not, I think we did it one time. I think it was like 14% FOC. Does that make sense or something? I remember something around those lines. But, I mean, it's not huge curious. FOC. Mm-hmm. But my thing is, and it's always been this way, is as long as I can hit that X, I'm happy.
Yeah.
I'm not worried about the FOC part of it. As long as I can hit the X every time, then I'm good.
Yep.
I mean, but you do want to, that being said, you want to go for worst case scenario sometimes. Yep. You know, sometimes you don't want that. So what about you, Andy? What you got going on over there?
A
412-inch draw.
I actually just changed bows this year. I just got a new Athens Archery Ridge 34. I have a 31.5-inch draw length on that. And so I'm shooting the Rampage, Black Eagle Rampage as well.
You're at 250 spine, right?
I'm at the 250 spine. Yeah. I went ahead and went a little stiffer since I was a longer arrow.
I could just go stiffer as well.
That's basically, I take my I take my full length arrow
and unsubscribe.
I just cut off enough length for the outsert, and that's basically, I'm pretty much shooting full length arrow.
Yeah.
Arrow weight's like at 540, I think. I mean, I'm up there. I could honestly probably.
And that's
with
shooting 100 grain.
That's 100 grain
broadhead. I mean, not doing anything extra just because you have
that's
such a long arrow.
55 grain insert, I think, and 100 grain broadhead. I think we all do building your own arrows. I like fletching them, and it's just fun just to mess with.
Yeah.
Most of the, like, I think you guys all have the boning blazers.
Oh, that's one thing the vanes.
I have the heats.
Yeah, you've got the heats.
I just like them.
See, it's the same thing for me. I've been shooting blazer vanes since I've started shooting, and I've never had problems with them.
Yeah, so why change? Yeah,
You know, these AE Maxes and all this stuff I want to try. Stuff, I'm like, I would love to, but these little guys work for me, and I'm gonna keep putting them on.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
So is that what you're shooting, Frank? Isn't
AE vanes? Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah. I've been hunting with the their Stealth vane.
Mm-hmm.
I hunted with the Stealth Max for 2 or 3 years. Love them. They're real quiet. Then they came out with the hybrid, which are almost foolproof. I mean, you could almost lick them and stick them on. I mean, they really are just that easy.
Yeah.
You got to prep the Maxes. They're made out of a different material. They're, I mean, a little more particular. You got to use a primer pen, and if you don't, they'll fly off. They won't. But that being said, they're a fantastic vein, and once they're on, they're on forever.
Yippee!
Yeah.
You doing four?
Not with the Stealths.
Okay. Three.
Well, I like the Pro Max as well. That's their little shorter, taller, kind of like a Blazer.
Mm-hmm.
And then I run that four. So
cool. Yeah.
And all I run a pretty hard left helical, just about as much as I can wrap around the arrow.
Oh, yeah?
Yep.
That makes sense.
Yep.
Yeah.
All right. Sorry. Back to you, Andy. Yep. When you said that, that made me think, oh, that's a good thing to ask people.
My rest, I believe, is a Virtus.
Virtus?
Virtus, yeah.
HHA rest?
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep.
A lot like the QAD, almost identical pretty much.
Yep.
Drop away. My release, I'm shooting the same release pad as actually that you tried.
Mm-hmm.
And really, it's a cheaper, they got it at Cabela's, I think.
Yeah. Thumb release,
yeah. Yep. I was shooting a true ball, which I'm trying to get comfortable with the thumb release. I'm not quite there. I'm used to the wrist release with the index finger.
Mm-hmm.
But I can see benefits of that thumb release. I don't know.
Oh, I can too.
I like messing with it.
Shooting pads, I could see it. I mean, yeah. I only shot it twice, and I'm like, this makes sense.
Yeah.
It does.
Yeah.
But I'm hard-headed.
Yeah. And then I'm running a Spot Hog Fast Eddy three-pin slider.
I like it.
That's a good one. I really like it. I mean, it's that thing. I feel like I could honestly drop it on the ground and pick it up and
Spot comfortable with still. Like a tank. It really is.
It is, but with that being said, they're super heavy.
That's
like, I feel like my bow is so top heavy because of the, you know, all that. I have to add some counterweight. I need to add, I'm not happy with my stabilizer at the moment, but my stabilizer isn't really a true stabilizer. It's the Tacticam.
It's a camera.
I'm using the camera. I use the Tacticam stabilizer. I like filming my hunts and just.
What are how heavy that is compared to like I got a bee stinger on my bow.
I need to try it and see. Cause the Tacticam camera is not very heavy.
Right.
So it shouldn't be too bad. I don't know. That's one thing I want to change, and is kind of change that setup somehow, and maybe go to like a clamp for the Tacticam and not the
clamp
actual
it to like a or be
to the
CD
right,
or a bar.
Yeah. I think that's how Russell runs his Tacticam. Is it's
he
clamped
his
to
on,
his stabilizer,
and I think he had. I don't know. There's a couple different ways to do it, of course. But yes, for the most part, that's mine. I was shooting a Bear Anarchy before that, and switched to the Athens. A couple friends had them.
Mm-hmm.
Well, we were at that 3D shoot, and the guy from Flatlanders was shooting one behind us.
Yeah.
And you could just hear it. I thought, I don't know. It sounded fast, looked cool. So I started researching a little bit, and seems like a pretty solid company. I mean, they're, so I don't know. Giving them a try this year, and I did something different, and I attempted to set this one up myself.
Thanks, Frank.
Yeah, thanks, Frank.
Sorry about that.
Yeah,
once again.
If you can't tell, we all went to Frank for to set up our bows. So I just decided to try it, and I watched a few YouTube videos, and by far not perfect by any means.
But it shoots,
and it's fun. I mean,
it was. I
working on your own shit.
On it.
Yeah. It gets. I mean, I have so many plans back here in the backside of my basement.
You're going to have a press and a draw board. And
yeah, I've already been pricing presses, which aren't cheap.
No. Well,
damn.
I'm actually going to try to make my own. I've been looking at homemade. I'm a tight ass.
Yeah.
I made my own kind of vise
with
some clamps, and which I don't know if I'd recommend that, but I got some levels, some things going on there.
Ducked when I started, you know?
Got a square. Here's my plan. It's not done by any means. I got a square-tubed trailer jack.
Yeah.
And I've looked, I mean, if you go on to Google, you can Google and you can find plans for it. I don't know. I'm not saying
you got a welder handy. And
I do. I mean, I have welders available. I have the equipment available
to
do it.
The only thing that's tricky, because so I've looked into it before I bought my press. I have a last chance. But before that, like the fingers, getting those last chance type fingers. You know, there's people out there that are making them for you, so you got to buy them still.
Right.
But you got to have them.
I got a buddy who has a CNC machine. I'm really hoping I can talk him into it.
I haven't even asked him yet, or have him mock up something that looks real similar. That would work.
When I buy my press, you can just borrow it.
Oh, perfect.
Which, okay, now we're going down a rabbit hole, but screw it. What press do you use, Frank?
So at the shop or whenever
what's your favorite thing to use? I mean,
what is your preference? Yeah, if you could pick one.
So I have a Last Chance. That's what I have at home. It's fine. It works great.
Mm-hmm.
It does everything it needs to do. That being said, the Spike Press by ATC Archery Tooling Company is way better. But it's also way more expensive. Yeah, the draw board and the press, they are phenomenal. They really are.
Yeah.
You can do so much with them.
I mean, just...
I will tell myself. A draw board, I have plans in my mind for that as well. It involves a 2x6, a boat winch.
Andy's going to die.
That'll work.
And some screws.
So my first draw board was probably worse than that, honestly. I had, you know, the beams in the basement holding it up. I put an eye bolt in the top and an eye bolt in the bottom, and I bought one of those stupid rodeo ratchets and drew my bow with it and had a little turnbuckle in it.
Yeah.
So I could draw, just fine tune it once I got real close, and it worked.
That's what's addicting about archery is you, it's perfectly fine going to a pro shop and having your guys do your stuff for you, you know, and, but it's also really fun to start sticking with your own stuff.
And here's where you guys are just about ready to get into. Okay. And it's how I started. Whenever I knew that there was some more performance in these bows, and there was no bow shops around. They were like, oh, that looks close enough. And I'm like, no, it's not.
I'm not here for close enough.
So that's where I ended up like, okay, I'm just do it myself. And that's where you guys are. You know, you just don't have a shop here handy now. Sorry. And
so
you need to learn to do it yourself now. And I mean, and that's where I started. Just full circle.
I don't even know how we got into fletching our arrows first. That's really what started it.
It's cheaper.
No. Mr. Cabela's is the one that got us into that. Because when we started going to Colorado archery elk hunting, Russell was going to build arrows. Russell did build arrows. And honestly, we all still use his fletching jig, which I had.
I got my own. You borrow his.
I use his for something. Sorry, Russell. I gave it back finally.
Well, and I see what's cool about that is you have these memories, because I remember the first time we all fletched together. We had a little fletching party upstairs in my kitchen.
We screwed it up so bad.
And I broke his freaking Arizona Easy Fletch.
Oh, yeah. I see those.
First time I used it, I gunked the thing up and started cussing and threw stuff and got cranky. That was the first time we ever did stuff. And six of the 9 arrows I tried, garbage.
Yeah.
You know, and then you do it again, you're like, all right. And then you figure out a bits and burger so much better.
I mean, there's so much, there's so many YouTube videos out there where, I mean, you don't really have an excuse. If you want to try it, get on YouTube. You can definitely learn.
Sure.
So,
but,
and I mean, be prepared to mess up. It's going to happen.
Yeah. Sure. Don't be scared.
I mean, I still, you know, I'll have one where I didn't do it the way I wanted it. And one thing I'm going to change this year, we'll get back to you. I'm sorry, Andy. This is a rabbit hole.
We're on you now.
I use wraps right now. And, you know, you'll get around, and let's say you're on your third, I shoot 3 vanes. Mm-hmm. Get to your third one, and you don't like the way it adhered or something.
Yeah, because
you're ripping it all off.
Yeah.
Because that wrap just,
you
can't.
You want to know a secret to this?
I would love it.
Okay. Go down here to the vinyl wrap store that makes signs, like Gator Graphics there in Warrensburg, mm-hmm. something like that, and just buy you a sheet of your favorite color, paper cutter, and make your own.
There's your wraps.
And here's the deal. The overlap sucks, right, with the factory ones?
Mm-hmm.
You can cut them to whatever width you want to where they don't overlap or they just barely overlap. You don't have that problem anymore.
That's nice.
Yeah.
I had been ordering.
A little tech tip, 2000.
Pro tip, 14-niner. Yep. We've been buying our stuff from One Stringer, which is another Missouri company.
Yep.
And, you know, I like them, but it's just, you know, when you adhere that vein really well, you're pulling it off, you're going to pull that wrap with it a lot of times.
Sure.
So then you redo everything.
The cool thing about being able to use vinyl places, you can get reflective. Reflective is much cooler.
Yeah.
I think One Stringer,
they've got them.
They do that too. And you can also pick your arrow, the arrow you have, and they kind of help you with circumference.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Because my 250 spine, the reason I know this 250 spine was a little different circumference.
Sure, because it's thicker wall.
Mm-hmm. Than your alls, the 300 spines. But
it's still even ours, I don't know about yours, but barely overlaps, you know, just a tiny bit.
Just a little bit.
Where you could, you know, if you make your own, you get it to where it...
Yep.
You know, and you don't have to worry about that, but...
Depends how much time you have. I'd love to do that.
The next time I do some... I've got 4 arrows I need to refletch right now. I'm going to do them without a wrap and just see.
I don't wrap mine.
Oh, well, it makes so much sense. I did all these beautiful white on whites this year, and I'm like, oh, this is cool. And I went outside. First time I shot, second arrow, right through one of my veins. And now I got to redo the whole damn thing.
All of it.
Because when I pull it off, it's going to pull that wrap.
Nate's bragging right now because he... I shot a group, it was, group close it was enough, freaking, I shot my vein off.
Dude, it was 20 yards.
Yeah,
it was 20 yards. But, all right, so what about broadheads with you?
Dirt Nap Alphas is what I shoot now. I don't know. I don't try them. I like trying different things.
Yeah.
I started off shooting the original Rages and moved through a couple different ones of those, shooting Whitetail. I really no reason to switch from them, honestly. Except the reason I did switch, we went elk hunting the first year, and I was so nervous about, you know, these big old animals. I switched to a fixed blade. I think kind of the same. Mine was like it was the three blade fix, longer. They did okay. But, you know, then from there, honestly, I blame Frank. He got me started buying Slick Tricks, and then I would try some different ones, and then
I'm surprised Frank did get all three of our wives were here.
Yeah, when just a while ago.
She didn't make us
I'm
leave.
Surprised you didn't get punched.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because we introduced him.
We did, yeah.
You are going to need to leave.
You're going to go spend some more of our husband's money.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. That's funny.
What are you selling them today?
Well, now he sells us tractors, so we're going to have to start looking at those.
Except he just said food plot tractors, so you got the hookup on us on that. So go ahead, Andy.
No, the Dirt Nap Alphas, they're, I don't want to say stainless steel, but I think pretty sure they're steel. I need to get my facts straight on that. But they're a Missouri company, as we talked about before. Harrisonville, Missouri. Makes some good stuff, but I prefer the Alphas.
But your quiver? Anything special on that?
Nothing special. I don't even remember what brand it is, to be honest with you.
Nice.
But
it's a good one, then.
So far, we're 3 for 3. We're pretty much using the same setups with Whitetail as we do elk.
Yep.
And I think that's important for the folks that are listening, that we've talked about elk several times now, and we're about to again.
Well, it's my favorite,
on one of these on a Missouri show, right?
Yep.
Right.
Because you do not need to be worried about leaving here and going out west.
Yeah, don't be scared.
You can shoot the same stuff. You don't have to have a whole different setup.
Nope.
You probably shouldn't be shooting a 340 grain arrow.
I mean, some of the guys I've called in Colorado have been come right up running up to me with some sweet equipment. Let me tell you.
Yeah.
Right.
Some old school stuff, and I'm like, man. You ought to blow the dust off that thing before you go chase elk around.
Right. Yeah.
That thing's 80s, 1980s.
Yeah, I mean, there's certain things I think hopefully people get out of this that, you know, you don't want to be shooting a 320 grain arrow probably out in Colorado. I think my first time I ever had a bow, the arrow was maybe 330 grains or something like that. Pretty lightweight. Yeah. It was blue. I don't remember what it was. But
I got a quick rabbit hole. I want to ask Frank. We're talking about shooting elk and bigger animals. I want to kill a turkey with a bow. Have not done it.
Yeah.
Want to kill a turkey with a bow. I'm shooting big, heavy arrows. I'm I don't remember. I'm like high 260s, low 270s. I haven't chronoed with the Athens yet. In my mind, for a turkey, I need to be faster. I don't need as much, obviously.
I wouldn't be faster. So, like on a turkey, you want a big, big cut broadhead.
Okay.
They even make some turkey broadheads that are like not pointy.
What are they called? Guillotine or whatever?
Well, no, these are like just like Rage makes one.
Yeah.
Instead of being come to a point on the front with a chisel tip or something, they're rounded so they don't get the pass through.
Yeah.
The deal with turkeys is like if you can leave that arrow in, then they can't fly off as easy.
They can't go anywhere.
Dirt Net makes one that actually it's kind of cool. Looks like a trident almost.
Yep.
Like it's open in the front, like a bunch of different
points.
It's
about to catch the damn animal when it hits it.
Yeah.
Because your shot's probably not going to be more than 30 yards.
On a turkey, with a shotgun, for
the most part.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know. Like, I've killed a whole bunch with my bow. I went 5 or 6 years with just bow hunting them.
Mm-hmm.
And most of the time, I was literally like inside 15 yards. They were all point blank.
Really?
Yeah. Super easy.
Yeah.
Killed a few with the guillotine stuff.
How close do they have to be for a guillotine?
Real close. Inside 20 yards because they fly terrible.
I said, those things are such huge mass up front.
Yeah,
it literally starts flipping over itself.
Even with a well-tuned bow, they don't fly good. And the even worse part is like it's not like you can practice with them on anything other than a pillow because they break on a target. So
yeah,
okay,
makes sense.
Yeah,
that was just a question.
You should have seen me shoot a block target the first time I bought some of those guillotines. It was quite the rodeo.
That was $100.
I was like, I broke all of them.
What the?
Yeah,
nice.
All right, Nate, let's hear yours.
Well, so I'm shooting the grandpa in the group, and I just got it restrung, which tells you how much I do like it. So I'm still shooting a Bowtech Assassin from 2011. I haven't made the switch yet just because the big thing, and we'll get that into that in a couple minutes hopefully, is I'm kind of saving money to buy a traditional bow. And I'm like, well, if I can just drop a, you know, $100-$150 to restring this that has never failed me, I'm going to do that and maybe kind of save that money. So still shooting a Bowtech Assassin, really long draw length, 27 inches.
Nice.
So I've always kind of, you know, struggled with this. So I have to shoot at 70 pounds still right now. I'd love to be able to back it off a little, but
yeah,
I just lose so much speed.
Yeah. You struggle.
The good thing about Nate's draw length is, you know, he can basically take the leftover scraps from everybody else's arrows and make
them. When they screw up an arrow, I get to cut it off at my length and reuse.
Well, so. And then the good thing, most of the time, shorter draw length, that bow's a little nicer to draw.
Andy's
got 31 and a half in his, the draw cycle on his bow. Even if you could have the same bow in it, it's going
to
suck.
Well, and another reason I really haven't wanted to switch yet is like holding Micah's Triax and my Assassin. I feel like my bow is a lot lighter.
Sure. Light's not always good, though.
And
I'll tell you that.
You know, in Colorado, I just love it because I'm little and I can kind of, you know, move it around. But so anyway, I'm still shooting an Assassin.
Yep.
27 inches, same Black Eagle Rampages as Andy and Micah.
What sight?
Oh, I use a Black Gold Pro.
Nice.
Three-pin slider. Mm-hmm. Got to custom make this one, which was nice. S&S Archery out west.
Yep, Steve Speck's place.
Yep. Custom made that one, and I really do like it.
Yeah.
You know, the tape idea is pretty cool. I don't have that. It's, you know, it's tapes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Really enjoy the micro-adjustability on the pins.
My Spot Hog does not have that micro-adjustable.
Now, it's really nice.
I can get the Father Hog. I can go up in a... I'm not shooting their high-end one. I'm shooting kind of middle of the road for them. They don't have that micro-adjustability, which I do wish I had that you do.
And it's really nice, but like I said, you could almost start screwing with it too often. Mm. You're like, I missed on this arrow. I must need to mess with it.
Oh, yeah.
Which, to be honest, you are very bad about that.
I will. I have a problem with... Okay, I missed with those two.
Had to be the bow.
I must need to change it.
It had to be him. Yeah,
it's the bow.
You know, yeah. So
something's off.
Yeah. So that's what I shoot for a sight, and then my broadheads are Slick Trick Standards. Mm-hmm. I switched to those a couple years ago. The one complaint I will have on them, and this is only a few animals worth, but my 2018 archery deer, he only ran 40 yards and died right in front of me. But there wasn't a drop of blood from where I shot him to where I picked him up. Well, I really didn't look that hard because I just...
Yeah, there's a lot to go into that, though.
Yeah. It didn't pass through. It hit his opposite shoulder.
Yeah.
So
it was a high entrance and then no exit.
Yeah, high entrance, no exit.
So that's...
How far away was he when you shot 20?
Less than 20.
Yeah. So, I mean, your deer stand... Coming in steep. Mm-hmm. I know where your deer stand is. I mean, it's coming in pretty steep. And, yeah, if you didn't pass through... That cavity is going to have to fill all the way up.
It did.
And go out one hole. And then if it passed through, you have a lower hole.
Yeah. Yeah. So. But I've heard people complain about... The one complaint I've heard about them is blood trails.
Mm-hmm.
Whatever. I mean,
when you
know, you kill the animal and it dies in front of you, that's... I don't know why it matters so much. But what I liked about when I switched to them, and I think that's what Micah and Russell switched to the Slick Trick Standards, was like we were talking about the four cutting surfaces, and you know the science behind it being if you put an X in an animal, it's harder for that X to close up because there's four different flaps that have to come back together. Whereas if you're putting a triangle, you know, one of those things closes, that wound might close up.
It's even worse with a two blade, I'll be honest.
Sure, yeah.
Yeah.
Which makes sense. I mean, it doesn't take much to clog them up.
Pat's shooting a two blade and he shot that elk last year. Very little blood until the very end.
Mm-hmm.
But what happened was the elk ran past a tree, snapped his arrow off, and that created a huge... It opened up the hole for him, but before that, there wasn't that much of a hole to get out of.
Yeah. And then quiver, which I do like, I'll switch to a tight spot eventually, but it's a fuse. The only thing I don't like about it is a four arrow.
Yeah.
Quiver, whatever.
Yeah, I mean, need more before you're about to go home.
You've had a bad day.
Just quit.
Yeah. But it's a fuse, and I do like it. It's lightweight, and you know, I can turn it on, pull it off, that sort of stuff.
Absolutely.
So it's pretty nice. Eventually, I'll make a switch. I thought about buying a bow this year, and I was looking at the Realm SR6.
Yeah, it's an all right bow.
And I was looking at the Hoyt, not the RX5, the Helix. Is it the Helix?
Not their aluminum
That'd be
ones,
like
but the
last year's model. Yeah. Yes.
Okay. Whatever.
Yep. No, that's a good.
You know, the aluminum version of the RX5, but
RX it would have been the same as the RX.
I never shot either of them. It was just kind of stuff I was looking at, and I probably would have looked at like the what's the Matthews new bow?
VXR.
The VXR.
Yeah, that's the one I almost.
Yeah, that's a nice bow.
Yeah. Pat and Brandon that go with us both just got VXRs. Yeah.
Well, but then isn't Russell shooting the VXR?
No, he's got the Vertix.
Vertix, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. I like that bow a bunch. It's the same bow as VXR, just shorter.
Yeah, but then, you know, I hear all these guys like over and over and over. I hear Elite is awesome.
It is.
I love my bow. Yeah. You know, blah, blah, blah.
I always hear how smooth Elite is. It's the one thing that always comes to mind when you're talking about your Elite is everyone that has one says they're so smooth.
Yeah.
Never shot one. I'm left-handed and I can't go to a lot of
limb shops. You can't just show up.
Yeah. And they have limb stops too, so it's got that big hard back wall. It's, you know, a lot of guys are like, oh, that's nice. And it is nice. I mean, for a guy that shoots a hinge, which is me, you know, I want cable stops. Just give me a little bit of pull. But shooting a thumb button or an index finger or hunting situation in general, limb stops are pretty nice to have. I ain't gonna lie.
Yeah.
So I have both in my bow right now. So I'm shooting cable stops and limb stops.
Nice. That thing stops.
I mean, it'll stop. I like having that hard back wall.
Yeah, there's no creep to that.
Yeah, your bow has it.
Well, when I first started shooting, actually I brought it back to you and you're like, oh yeah, we're gonna fix this. The Assassin has a little what would you call it? Like a set nut for your draw length, whatever.
That's your limb stop slides.
Yeah, that deal.
In a slot. Yeah.
So I was shooting the bow, and over a few weeks, I noticed that I was horrible. I'm like, what the hell am I doing? Ended up taking it back to you, and that stop had loosened, and I went from a 27-inch draw all the way to 29 and didn't notice.
Almost a man.
Just one at a time, dick. You know, just little at a time, and all of a sudden you're shooting, and you don't even realize you're just all stretched out.
Yeah.
That was the one thing. Because of that, now I love feeling that.
Yeah, when it's right, it's right.
I'm where I'm at. Yeah, for sure. So that's cool. But anybody else got stuff on setups before we get to some fun stuff?
No. Not really.
I think we pretty much covered all the bases.
I'm still learning. I started tinkering.
Oh, by the way, I Googled what I'm shooting on my rest. My rest is an Apache.
Oh, that's right. Yeah.
But because I could not figure that out. But so I mean, for people that are potentially wanting to take their deer setup out west, all four of us sitting here are shooting the same thing basically.
That being said, I've geared mine towards elk.
And then use it here.
For elk, deer. But
and I think we've done
absolutely
that.
Absolutely, there's no reason you couldn't take a whitetail setup and go kill elk.
Yep,
I mean,
right.
You should be able to have no problems.
I mean, as long as you're accurate,
yeah,
it shouldn't be an issue.
Yep.
Yeah. I mean, I would say
if you're
sitting middle of the road where you can kind of chase them both, I mean, 450 grains, I wouldn't go a whole lot lighter maybe.
Yeah, I mean, I think the limit for me would be, you know, for sure 400 grains and heavier. I mean, because, I mean, you got to think there's ladies out there that are going to be shooting 25-inch draws.
Mm-hmm. Right.
You know, they're real.
They're going to struggle to get to that 400.
Yeah. What did you just call me?
Yeah.
What?
Yeah.
So, anyway, and I think another cool thing about Missouri is the opportunity to practice.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, I don't know about other states, but we have a lot of 3D opportunities here. And, you know, Andy, Micah, myself, all the guys we know, I mean, we loved coming to Warrensburg when you used to do the Evolve shoots, you know, because it was 20 minutes down the road.
Yep.
We all use 3D archery shooting to practice.
For sure.
You know, give ourselves, you know, you sit in front of your target at home and you shoot all summer long.
Oh, yeah.
That's great. You're practicing. But what we like is putting different stuff in front of us,
different terrain.
Different terrain,
know,
different whatever else. So it gives you that the practice with seeing different things.
I like going with you. I can go by myself. It's fun. It's great. I like going with my buddies.
Yeah.
Making it a little bit competitive. A little camaraderie, a little competitiveness. And people sitting there watching you shoot, to me, adds a little bit of pressure yeah. on you. When you're shooting at an animal, you have a lot of pressure.
Oh, no doubt.
So you got people watching. It's a little bit of pressure.
So much pressure. The very first deer I shot, I'll tell on myself, I was 17 years old, bought a bow. Nah, didn't really know much about it. Shot it, got it sighted into where I could go shoot things. And my buddy's like, hey, let's go deer hunting. I'm like, all right. I've never been deer hunting before with a bow. So we bought tags. You could just go down the road to the place and buy tags.
Right.
And I'll go out there in a blue jeans and a t-shirt after school one day. And I climb up in this tree, just a little fork of a tree. And this little 10-point buck comes cruising up. And I shoot him at like 5 yards. But I was so nervous. Like, I literally almost blacked out. Like, I can see that. I remember, like, it was a tunnel, like, closing in on me. Like, you see in, like, the end of a, you know, Bugs Bunny or something like that. That was happening, and I shoot him, and I was like, whew, that was close. Almost fell out of this tree.
Oh, yeah.
I can understand it completely. Shake
every so time. Usually after, but, like, yeah.
Oh, not me.
Afterwards, I shake.
You're in the middle of it, huh?
Oh, it's all up on me. Huh. Like, I'm 100% good until I decide that I'm going to kill it. As soon as I decide that I'm going to kill it, I'm a wreck.
That's how I am the same way. Like, because we all shoot does and stuff like that. But even with a doe,
you get that I'll watch feeling. Them.
I know they're going to come down. But yep. as soon as I'm like,
you made
as
the
soon
decision.
As they make that step, I need to get my bow and I need to start drawing back. Mm-hmm. As soon as that happens, that's when I start breaking down.
Yeah.
I mean, but
that's crazy how different people react. I mean,
yeah. I'm usually good until right after. As soon as I hit that release.
Oh, and that's when it all hits me.
Every thought in my mind, and then I'm a wreck after that.
Yeah.
And hey, I have no idea how it happens to me. It's not like I'm some badass. It's just I don't get that before the shot.
Yeah.
But like you said, as soon as it happens, it's like shaking. You know, almost like you're freezing cold.
Oh
and,
yeah, I've had my knee knocking against the tree
right.
stand.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that's crazy how that happened, but. What's nice about these, when you do this with your buddies is,
yeah.
you know, you got that guy that's in the lead towards the end, and everybody's screwing with him and, you know, putting pressure on him. And,
and then it's like in the competition side, you know, when you get to a shoot down, there's no nerves like that.
Right.
That's serious because everybody's standing around watching you then.
See, we've never been at that level, Frank. Well, I think
that's a good point to talk about, though, Frank, yeah. is you can use 3Ds for however you want to use them.
Oh, yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
We enter, and we'll keep our scores. We are not going to keep up with these dudes that are using, target bows. Yeah. They have whatever on a scope, I guess you'd call it, on there. We're not going to beat them.
Yeah.
We shoot for fun, and we'll enter our scores and cool, whatever. Yeah. I mean, we all try to beat each other.
It's always a competition between ourselves
but
anything else.
That's not the only way to do this. We do it for that. Yeah. There's competition.
Well, for sure.
And a lot of guys do that, and, you know, we see their setups, and we're like, holy shit, that's cool.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We like talking to those guys.
Oh, yeah. And, you know, we'll talk
like
to
Frank,
them.
Like Frank. Yeah.
Yep.
Like picking his brain. And
what are the, you know, what do you see as far as our state? As far,
oh,
people have so many opportunities.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, so there's some areas of the country where all they shoot is indoor archery because the weather's so bad. That's not necessarily the case for us. You know, we get a lot of 3D. You know, we can just about shoot from January to deer season.
Mm-hmm.
Usually, like, the week of deer season is the end of it.
Mm-hmm.
But from like January 1 to then, you could just about shoot all week, or every weekend or something dang near it.
Right. If you're willing to travel a little bit.
Yeah, you might have to travel an hour or two, which isn't that terrible, I don't feel like. You know, it's not like the South. Some of them South states, like, they leave targets up all year round. If you're part of a club, you could literally go every day of the week and shoot. And we don't have that, but we don't also have the weather either.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You know, Missouri weather would chew a target up in a heartbeat. If you left it standing.
Yeah.
I got one in my backyard that proves
looks
that.
Like that.
Yeah. Yeah. So, you know, and then, you know, like I said, we do have some indoor archery. There's a little bit of field. There's not much of that around. You know, it's like the indoor archery game, except for outside, longer distances.
Yeah.
It's fun. It's just, there's not much of it. So it's kind of unfortunately dying a little bit, but it's cool. But it's just, you know, shooting paper faces.
And there's a lot of people. I think it's really cool. You do not have to be a hunter in this case.
No.
There's a lot of people that just shoot.
That's for sure.
And
yeah.
Those people might be listening to this show, and this is a way to get in. And there's a Facebook page. I think it's called Missouri 3D
Shoots.
Shoots.
Yep, absolutely.
It lists every organization.
Mm-hmm.
Every weekend they're doing something. People will post,
even
new
on,
events. And,
even on the national level, I mean, that's all on there as well. You know, mm-hmm. and a buddy of mine, Sean Groder, runs that.
Yeah.
He keeps up with it pretty dang good. He, you know, updates it like once a week or so.
Yeah. I'll take screenshots.
Yeah.
And just, okay, I want to go to this one if we got, you know, if I'm not busy this weekend with kids or whatever. Yeah. And,
well, you go to, I think it's announcements or something, yep. and he has it posted. Pin. It's pinned on the top. I just hit there, and I scroll down through and see where it's
I'll link available. That. It's Missouri 3D Shoots, yep. correct?
It yep. is.
I'll link that in the show notes
yeah.
for people because, you know, if you want to get in, if you're looking for a way to get involved in archery somehow, there's your start. Yep. You can go pay $10 most of the time at some of these.
Yeah, $10 to $15 somewhere in there.
You know, sign up. The people are always super nice. Yep. The people you're shooting around are always, we've never had a single problem
nope.
for the most part with people. Yeah. Even if we've had to the point where maybe it's like the three of us shooting and we're behind a real big group, they'll let you jump them.
Yep.
I mean,
it's a lot like golf, to be honest with you. I mean, you know, for the most part.
I'll be honest with you. You know, I've been the guys that have been in the group of four or five of us with target bows, and it's like, we know we're slower. Let you guys shoot through.
Right.
You know, yeah. if you want to shoot with us, this target, cool. If you don't, we'll step aside, let you shoot it by yourself. I mean,
yeah, we'll stop and watch others.
Yeah.
You know, as long as they're okay with it.
Yep.
You know, but, you know, watch them shoot that, you know, there's four guys with these target bows and, you know, they're all doing a little different stuff and you're like, this is pretty cool.
Yep. And it's fun to hear that group banter back and forth because everybody's got their own, you know, atmosphere, the groups and whatever. And I also like seeing the families out there. I mean, you got your kids who are, I mean, just shooting the, you know, simplest bows out there, just having fun. You got mom shooting, you got dad shooting, you might have grandpa shooting. Yep. I mean, it's all the way through. I like seeing the family atmosphere too.
Yep.
Rabbit hole alert. We're going down one.
Oh, go for it.
Kids. So, I've got a son who's really wanting to get into this and, I've made the decision to, well, you see that crossbow sitting right there.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
I bought that for him for Christmas and now I've decided against it.
Yeah.
He doesn't need to kill a deer right now.
Sure.
You know,
how old is he?
He's 9.
Cool.
He doesn't need to. I want him to learn how to shoot.
Sure.
So I'm going to buy him a bow.
Yeah.
And it's going to be something, hopefully, that he can grow into, right?
Yeah.
Mike has got young kids. Andy, this is going to be good information for all of us. I've been doing some research on the different bows for kids.
Yeah.
Do you have one that you like more than others?
That, I do have
you know,
one
you've
that
sold
I like
in the
more
years?
Than others.
Because you got a son.
I do.
About that age.
I have him a little recurve, believe it or not. Only because it's easy and he can pick the thing up. So I had him at like a year and a half old. He's out there with a binky in his mouth shooting a bow. He had a little mini Genesis. It was the coolest thing ever. I thought so anyways. And then he kind of lost interest. But he's kind of started being a little more interested again. And I have this 15-pound, which seems like a lot, but it's not in his size, little recurve. And he slings arrows. We've shot some 3Ds with it. He has a good time.
Mm-hmm.
We don't have to expect anything that way. You know, if he hits the target, cool. If we got to look for the arrow, that's cool too.
Yep.
That being said, there are some really good options in the youth bow for compound side. You know, Matthews makes some good stuff. They make like a stoke and a veil. Those are a little more on the
high
end.
No, they're actually Matthews. They're not like a Mission.
No. Nope.
I've heard something about a Mission.
Some Mission. Matthews makes Mission as well.
Uh-huh.
They make good stuff too. That would be kind of middle of the road, beginner type bow, I would say, for especially for a youth. They make super adjustable bow as well. The stoke and the veil is not in the Matthews line. Elite makes one called the Ember, and it's probably my favorite. That
Elite
bow,
Ember.
Yep. It is very much like an adult bow, but it is super adjustable, and it'll fit just about anybody.
I mean, so, and that's what you want with a kid's bow.
Yeah,
you want something that they can
grow, to
grow
into it.
Yeah, so even if it's...
Or grow with.
Grow with it.
Grow
yeah.
with
yeah.
it, yeah, yeah. It's a Bear. Bear makes a couple
I've
of
heard
them.
Of a Bear.
You know, they make like two or three different models.
I had a guy give me a list one time, and I had no idea if he was giving me a good list or not.
Yep.
It was just kind of, here's some bows that you should go buy for your son.
Yep. Diamond makes some stuff. They make it's made by Bowtech, you know, and so everybody's got a couple of bows that are made for youth. It's just a matter of finding one that they like, you know, because some. So here's another thing that you got to think about, and for me, I would look at the whenever I was picking out a bow for a kid. If they come in and you're like, okay, I've got a little 7-year old. Well, at that point in time, it's not how much they can draw, believe it or not. They can draw fine enough because most of the bows go down to like 5 pounds. it's how much they can hold up with the bow arm.
Yeah.
And so you got to find them a small frame bow.
Yeah.
You know, so that's part of the, you know, figuring out what's going to fit somebody, because archery is not, it literally isn't fun if the bow doesn't fit you. Like, there's nothing more frustrating than whipping your arm real good.
First time ever shot, dude. You know, I ripped off.
Especially for a kid that's 7 or 8 years old. Yeah. You're going to let them whip their arm, and they're going to be like, nope, never
they're
again.
Done. Yeah,
never
they're
again.
Done.
So
it's funny you say that about your son, because that's Caden, my son that I'm talking about right now. And my daughter is all of a sudden, who's 12, she's now that I want to buy Caden this. Yeah. She's wanting to. I'm like, oh, crap, I'm going to end up buying two of these damn things.
Yeah.
But they're all shooting what you would call recurve right now out there with the little blunt arrows that you buy from Walmart. Yep. And they just shoot it into this little styrofoam target they got. And, you know, they're doing that. Even my 7-year-old son's doing that. Mm-hmm. And he's just to the point where he knew I bought him that that crossbow.
Yeah.
And then I changed my mind. I'm like, no, you know what? It isn't about killing an animal right now. Yeah, it's about getting you involved.
Put him on a gun
involved.
And kill an animal.
Right. Right. Yeah. And it... He's 9. He's got his whole life to do this.
Sure.
I want him to learn the sport first, you know, learn. He goes hunting with me, so he'll understand those things. But it's about the youth thing. I mean, you know, you got all the kids. I think this was a perfect question to say, what would you get if you were getting the kid a compound? He every day we go out to shoot, he's, can I shoot one just like you, Dad?
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm like, well, yeah, I'll figure it out. I just don't know what the hell to buy you.
Yep.
You know?
Yeah.
Yep. So that, you know, and that's where Huntley, you know, he wants one of those Embers, those Elite Embers, because he can make it look exactly like my bow.
Oh, that's cool.
You know, the same color. And he's like, yeah, that'd be cool, Dad. And I'm like, yeah, it would be cool, buddy.
I'm looking forward to it and not at the same time. I know you've got a freaking bow, arrows, release, sight. All the same stuff that we are running our stuff for a kid. I mean, you're just like, expensive. Oh, man, this is going to suck.
Oh, yeah. I mean, even like, so even if you went and bought one of the lower end price point wise package bows, man, you're going to be $600-$700. I mean,
right.
Because the bow is going to be 3 or 4 arrows. You know, you might spend $50 on a half dozen arrows, mm-hmm. something like that. A release is going to be $50. You know, the sight, well, it'll have a sight and a rest on it, so that's good. You know, but it can be quick. It can add up quick.
Yeah. Well, and then, you know, when dad's going to be making those adjustments, I'm going to be screwing with that cheap sight and go, all right, I'm done with this, and go, you know, buy something nicer.
You know, it's quality.
Yeah.
But your son, he's obviously been shooting. Starting out, what type of release would you suggest for a kid?
Fingers. That's easy.
Mm-hmm.
Really?
Yeah. Okay. The problem with kids is like, they don't really know how to anchor yet. It's real easy to tell them to put their index finger in the corner of their mouth. That's easy. Putting, you know, splitting your fingers with like a thumb release or an index finger, you know, putting it behind your jawline, they have no clue.
It gets really hard.
Yeah.
Yeah. I could see that.
So you would say the number one thing, that it's not draw weight, but it's actually the weight of the physical bow would be the best thing to figure out first.
Yeah, so if it's a big kid, you know, if he's 10, well, that's different. They can hold up a lot.
Yeah.
Right.
But if he's 5 or 6, or if it's a little girl, you know, that can be a thing.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, and that's exactly what happened with this freaking crossbow I bought him. I gave it to him, and I said, all right, hold it up, buddy, and show me. And he sat there and lugs the thing up. And I'm like, nope, this isn't. You know, I already was on the fence when I'd bought it.
Yeah.
And then when he did that, I'm like, that's not going to work.
Yeah.
And
I mean, there's ways around that, but yeah.
Yeah, sure. I mean, you can sit down, you know, in the blind and we can post it up. But
yeah.
it didn't feel right when he did that. So I'm like, we'll do something else.
Yep.
So I've been kind of putting it off.
Yep.
Well, that's good on those. You know, one other thing I'm really kind of excited to get into at some point is traditional bows.
Uh-huh.
Have you done anything like that?
So I've shot one a little bit. I'm not very good with one.
It's a different.
Yeah.
What you call it? Instinct shooting? I mean, is that kind of.
Yeah, so like there's a couple different ways. You can shoot it instinctively. But the guys that are good generally don't shoot instinctively. They shoot point on, which is. So what they'll do is they'll set up their bow. And then that setup changes depending on how the point on is. So like they'll aim down the arrow and use the point of the arrow as a reference. And so let's just say they want it to be like point on at like 20 yards or 15 yards or whatever it is. Sometimes an arrow setup has to be, you know, that's dictating to them what their point on is. It's super tricky, man. Like, I got a buddy, Darren. He knows all about it, and I've watched him mess with this stuff like nonstop. It's never ending. So, you know, I'm super tech savvy on the compound side, and he is on,
That side.
Traditional side. I would have never guessed. I'd be like, man, square, that's it. But no, he's moving his knock sets nonstop. The plunger pressure on his rest, like, because it's got a little finger rest, but it's got a plunger on the riser. He's not shooting off the shelf. I guess if you're shooting off the shelf, you're a little more limited on that. But the spine of his arrow, you know, I mean, those guys are like putting rope inside their carbon arrows to change the spine or change the weight.
Oh, my.
I mean, it gets super tricky. Like,
nonstop. I didn't know that I was even involved in it.
Well, and it, I mean, it's I've been stalking another Missouri-based company, by the way, Black Widow Bows.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
I've been stalking them on Instagram for a while. And you're right. I mean, you read through the stuff and you just don't quite understand. If you don't have anybody to teach you about a traditional bow, you're just kind of like, whew.
That's
what you go watch YouTube and stuff like that. But
I bought one. I had just a little cheap one compared to Black Widow. You know. That being said, like, and I set it up the best I could, and it shoots okay. Mm-hmm. It does. But Darren, some of his bows were like, he could shoot bare shafts out of it like a compound. No joke.
Yeah.
I'm like, what the heck? No way. You know.
I have a feeling I'm going to end up jumping in headfirst to Black Widow at some point.
Yeah.
Just, it's another, I think all of us are, you know, in our archery world, it's another challenge.
Oh, for sure, tough. Yeah.
You know, I mean, at some point, it's kind of fun.
Yeah, now you're inside 20 yards for sure.
Yeah, I've always told myself once I master the compound, then I'm going to switch to the trad. Still haven't.
There's no, there's no mastering.
Little cushion there. Huh?
I'm going to wait for a while. That's cool.
Man.
Yeah.
Eventually, I'll get there, but yeah, it's not going to happen.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, we talked for a long time. We talked about a lot of stuff.
Yeah.
You guys got anything else that you want to pick his brain about?
Oh, we could be here all night if we started doing that.
Oh, yeah.
But
everything we talked about, we kind of hit the surface on all of them.
Yeah.
I
get on here again another time. And
absolutely.
Yeah, you could dive in for 2 hours on just broadheads.
Yep.
You know, that sort of stuff. So,
but well. Main thing is don't be scared to try different things.
Yep.
And more than likely, your setup's probably good enough to do anything you want to do with it.
Yeah, I mean, like,
for the most part.
And having a well-tuned setup makes a huge difference.
Yeah.
So if your bow, you have worries about, you know, got a little arrow flight funny, go see a pro shop.
Absolutely.
You know?
I was going to say, don't be scared to ask people questions.
Yeah, I mean, if you're looking behind the bow and you're like, oh, that's good enough, well, it's probably not good enough, honestly.
Yeah.
You know, there's so, I mean, these bows are super tunable these days. Get it tuned, you know, shoot through paper, shoot a bear shaft. You know, these are all things like, you know, we might be listening to this and being like, what's that mean? If that's the case, probably need to take it to a pro shop.
Go talk
to
somebody.
Yeah, I mean,
one, you make sure your draw length. Yeah. I mean, there's a lot of guys out here that are just picking up. Well, my buddy had a bow and I just started grabbing it. There's no chance you have the same draw length. I mean, the odds of it are very slim.
Like, so me and my hunting partner, Kevin, that we hunt out west, we literally have the same draw length. We, like, everything.
He proves me wrong.
Idiot.
I'll shut up. No, not at all. I was just getting ready to prove you right, actually, because just because we have the same draw length, our bows don't tune the same. Nope. I can't shoot his bow. He can't shoot mine.
You guys do stuff differently. I mean, even
Little face contact, a little different. A little grip pressure, a little different. You know, now if we were out there and one of us crashed our bows falling down, you know, a rock slide or something,
you could figure it out.
We could figure it out, but it's not, you know, Nat's.
Right.
So,
but that's important for people to know. There's pro there's archery shops all over the place.
Yep.
In this,
some
this
good,
state.
Some not.
Sure.
You know,
but if you don't know what,
don't be discouraged if it isn't a good one.
Go in and
find a good
ask
one.
Questions. Yeah. And that's what, I mean, we all, obviously, we're using you before you left us like a jerk.
I'm surprised Frank actually talks to us because a lot of times we would go in there and not buy anything.
Just ask him questions.
We'd go in there just
hour.
To talk to Frank about our bow setups. Yeah. I mean,
But I mean, that's how you learn in all outdoor stuff. Nobody starts a pro.
Yep.
Nobody does.
Nope.
You learn from people that are smarter than you. I learned a lot just today sitting here talking again.
Yep.
I mean, that's just how it goes. And watch YouTube videos, get on with, you know, find a pro shop near you and start asking questions and
shoot a lot.
Shoot
practice,
a lot.
Practice.
Important.
Practice good arrows too. Yeah.
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 Shoot a lot. And if you start missing all the time, there's something probably going off.
Yeah.
Go talk to somebody.
Yeah.
No doubt about it. If your broadheads don't hit with your field points, that's not always the end of the world, but you probably need to have your bow checked out.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep. Well, man, thanks for coming on. I mean,
yeah,
absolutely. That was a lot of fun.
Appreciate your time.
Yeah.
People were kind of asking about this, and I thought this would be a great time to call Frank.
Yep. Get Frank. Yep.
Yep.
So, no problem.
Luckily, you live close to us too, so that makes it really nice. So thanks for coming out. And you got anything, any handles you want anybody to?
Oh no, I mean,
okay,
we're good. If they want to find me, they can.
They can find Frank.
Yeah, I'm Evolved Archer on, I guess, what is that, Instagram, and I'm on Facebook as well. So
cool.
We'll get on here another time. We'll talk about hunting or something.
Yeah, we can.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, there's all kinds of stuff.
We can start narrowing down some more topics.
Oh, yeah.
Let us know if there's anything you guys want to hear us talk about. We're not experts by any means, but we'll go down some rabbit holes.
And that's what this episode came from, people asking for bow setup talk. So
And one thing that I feel like that you guys elk hunt, I elk hunt, it's my favorite thing to do.
Yeah.
You know,
it's up there.
So, you know, if you guys want to know about being a little scared about going out west your first time, we could have a whole show about that.
Funny you should say that.
You know, we could. Yeah. There's so much to it. You know, these guys hunt a little different than I do, and
I was getting ready to say, there's two different strategies.
There's different strategies there. You know, these guys basic camp hunt, and I'm a backcountry hunter. You know, I hunt with camp on my back, and you know, I do a lot of miles and a lot of days, and it's just, you know, different strokes for different folks.
Yep.
And they both work.
Yeah, we were recently on a show with Backcountry Rookies, another one of the shows on Sportsman Nation, and we talked about just kind of basic about going from Missouri to, in our case, Colorado.
I love to help people about that because, you know, I've had really good success. You know, and I'm not scared to tell you secrets, you know. I mean, I'm not going to tell you where my spot is, but, you know, that being said, you know, basic strategy, gear. I love gear. Like, backcountry
gear junkies.
Big time. If anybody's interested in that,
it's not as intimidating as you feel like it is.
No,
that's all there is to it.
No,
people are intimidated by it because I need to have all this stuff. Sure,
you do.
It's cool to have good camo, good gear, good pack.
Makes life easier.
But really, if you have good boots, a good pack, and a bow.
Yep.
Obviously, if you're going to do backcountry stuff, you might need a little more. But it really won't cost you that much.
No, I mean, like, I've spent we just won't even talk about it. But a lot of money.
Lot of money.
Yeah, but you don't have to. I mean, there's a lot of, you know, gear for sale, like on Rockslide or, you know, Archer Talk even has some stuff. eBay, you can buy some bargains for stuff.
It's like
it doesn't
any
have to be so expensive.
Or hobby. I mean, you can go buy the highest dollar golf clubs to, or you can go whack a ball around with a garage sale set of golf clubs.
But, like, you know, there's some basic stuff that I would not skimp on. That's
true. That
sure.
But boots, get some good boots. I have two pair of Crispies, one insulated, one non.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I can't talk about how good they are enough, like, till I'm blue in the face. A good sleeping bag, good sleeping pad, and a tent. Good pack.
You know, gotta be those things, pack meat.
Yeah. Yeah. Because, you know, we're packing miles, multiple miles, you know, and it really matters. You know, you get out there with an old steel frame pack, you're gonna hate life.
Yeah. So. Well, I mean, that's it. And then, of course, if you're going to like a state like Colorado or something, the over the counter tag isn't that expensive.
No, it's $671.
Yeah.
That's not bad.
You got your stamp and stuff. So, I mean, it'll be somewhere around that 700 mark.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's expensive, sure.
But it's
but,
so, I mean, I guess that's, you know, perspective. But you think about it, you know, it's a couple hundred bucks just to go kill whitetails in other states, too. You know, a couple more $100 and you're getting to go hunt elk. And they scream back at you. And I love that part.
And they're big and they taste really, really good.
Oh, yeah, they taste good.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, so awesome.
Did I mention they scream back at you? I like that part.
Yeah, I like that. I long for the day to have one scream where I feel it through my body.
Mm-hmm.
I haven't had that happen yet.
It's the best.
We'll get into that some other time. Yeah. But
cool.
Well, thanks for coming on, dude.
Thanks for having me, guys.
All right. We'll see you guys. Yep.
Catch you on the next one.
All right, that's the show today. Hope you all enjoyed it. Lots of good information. We've kind of touched on a little bit about a lot of stuff, so hopefully that's something you all enjoy. We can go into a lot more detail on little different topics, but I thought it would be good to kind of hit the main points with a lot of bow setups. A lot of people are curious what they can do as far as it goes with whitetail compared to maybe going out west if they're thinking about doing that. So if you are, it's not as big of a deal as you might make it. So anyway, hope you enjoy the show, and we'll try to keep putting out good stuff for you guys. We'll see you later.